And all the people said,
amen.
There you go. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's got a good crowd this morning. Just let you know our prayer telephone chain. I'm going to get that right. We're going to get a new name for it so it's easy for me to say. It's off and running. We probably got about 50 to 60 names on it already. If you would like to sign up, just to tell you what this is, we've established a phone chain for the church. If you know somebody who's sick or ill who just needs a prayer or just needs a warm hand, we established a phone chain. Miss Susie Bryant has been so gracious enough to start this for us. And what you do, you would call Susie or call somebody that's in your phone chain. Call us, and then we'll let everybody else know that's on the chain itself. We'll have some papers for you to sign up. We need your name, address, phone number, cell phone if you have one, and especially your email address. Email is the way we're basically getting in touch with everybody, so it works out really, really good. And let's see, what else? That's basically it for today. We got kind of a short day today, so we'll go ahead and bring Beaver on. Once again, I appreciate everybody being here. Bring somebody next week because we're going to have a really big Sunday. It's the last day of SOS and feedback. I can't fix that.
Randy Atwood singing, Paul playing. We're going to be all right. How many here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time with us? Thank you for coming. Appreciate that. Don't make it your last. Thought maybe we'd fill up all the chairs today. We're looking, 20 more run in here. That Eastern Standard, New Time, whatever they got. A lot of them thought yesterday was Sunday. It was full in here yesterday. I know that they had just made a mistake. And that was the crowd that needed to be here today, by the way. The O.D. Shag Club is holding a breakfast this morning somewhere. And it's at 11 o'clock, not 10, for those of you who thought you were missing if you came here instead of there. You'll still be able to make that. Where are they having? Somebody said Boulevard Grill right across the parking lot there. So you'll have time to make that. That's good. We have good news and sadder news. Kay Burridge, Jerry's wife, who plays here in that H's new place, has cancer of the lungs. So if you will please pray for her, and we will, and put her on your telephone list, if you will, Shirley, and see what we can do for her, and you speak to them, if you will. Be sure to thank H. Lee for letting us be here. It's awful nice of him to let us be here, and at his new place, if you haven't been, it's beautiful. He's going to have a brunch over there in 2 weeks. He's going to start having it, and said it's going to be real nice, and it's going to cost like $5. So we can go over there after we get through here and eat, and that will be good, and it'll save you money than going to the high-priced places. So that'll be good. In case some of you here weren't last Sunday, now Ann does these notes. I just read them. It was my birthday. Has to keep telling me. Obviously, a lot of people forgot to buy their presents, so we're extending that a week, celebration. And give you a whole week to get you a little something in here. We had the best birthday present we could have. You good folks paid off the Wise family, little Bradley and Frankie, paid off their van last week. That's good. Be real proud of yourself. That's good. And those of you who gave so much for that we appreciate it. And every dime that was given, we appreciate. All together, we can get a lot done. Bradley was here. He got a new walker with those new legs that we got him. He can walk around the floor, and he can go outside at home in the yard and enjoy life a little bit more. So you've done a great thing in helping them. It's amazing how the Lord will use something like that. Last week, they had to go to the hospital one more time in your van. So they were able to go, and they're on the elevator, Bradley and Miss Wise. And the elevator opened, and Bradley was behind her in a push what you call them? Stroller. Okay, in a stroller. And no, you could only see her, and the door opened, and there was a guy, had it, and his leg had just been amputated. And he was cussing. I'm really bad. Those no good doctor. So he was cussing, and just read, and he didn't see any kids or anything. And she said, "Man, that's terrible, using that kind of language in front of little Bradley." And she said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, they cut my leg off. No good. I amputated my leg." She said, "Well, you need to meet my little boy." And turned Bradley around. Of course, he ain't got any legs. He ain't got any arms. And he looked at him. Tears came in his eyes. And he said, "Can I hold him?" She said, "Sure, hold him." And gave him to him. And he hugged that little boy and began to just cry. And when he said, "Was he born like this, or did they amputate his too?" She said, "No, he was born like that." And he said, "Can I give him something?" She said, "I'm not a rich man." Said, "But can I give him a dollar?" She said, "Yeah, give him a dollar. So don't give it to me, give it to him." And little Bradley reached up there with those nubs and got that dollar. And listen, he doesn't have to say anything. He just looks at you with those big eyes. And I tell her, I said, "Get him out of here. He's got me for two legs, an arm, a wagon, a bicycle, a wind star, and a dog. I mean, this." And so get him away from me. But what a precious thing that we could help that little fella. And you'll remember that the rest of your life, that you did that. And I certainly will. So we got all the announcement made. Any other Bible study at the Sleep Inn on Highway 17 across from, what's the name of that golf course? Eastport Golf Course. Cross street. First Volcano on the left going up the highway. They got a miniature thing. And it's 7 o'clock, and we learn a little bit there, and we're glad that we do that. If you haven't been to H. Lee's new place, go by. He's spent a lot of money, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's going to be a nice place to be. So if you brought a Bible this morning, turn to Luke 18:35. It's this SOS weekend in a week. You bring somebody next week, we'll fill this place up sure enough. And SOS is an international cry for help, as you know. That is the international signal for please help. I'm in distress. It's an emergency. I need help. And they named it right when they named this down here, SOS. And I came up here yesterday and walked around there were some people who needed a great deal of help, and we'll tell you why. It may be you. So Luke 18:35-43. And then it came to pass that as he was come near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went ahead of him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What will you have me do unto you? What shall I do to you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful morning, wonderful Lord's Day that we can meet in your name and expound the scriptures that you so kindly had passed down to us so we'd know of thee. Where would we be without them? We thank you for all those who have gathered together to worship you this morning, to praise you in song, and praise you in prayer, and praise you in the expounding of the word of God that we may understand what you would have us hear. We thank you for this account this morning of blind Bartimaeus. Hope to meet him someday and ask him a few questions. We thank you, Lord, that we can gain from this short story insights into what you would have us know to get us from here to eternity. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything that I say that should be forgotten, please let it be. And all that should be remembered, please make it be. That if there's someone here who is spiritually blind this morning, that their eyes may be opened and they may behold you in your light and go from darkness to light, from death to life, from heaven to hell, by accepting you as Lord and Savior. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. One of my favorite stories from Scripture is the story of blind Bartimaeus. There's several things. It doesn't say how old he is. We don't know if he's a teenager, if he's an old man like me, if he's older. We don't know. He's just sitting by the side of the road begging. So Bartimaeus is your age, because you're going to find out in a few minutes that Bartimaeus is you. He was a man sitting by the wayside begging. He was blind. And now that we've seen Afghanistan on television, we know what the Old Testament looked like. I'm amazed that we can see it in reality. You turn on the TV and here's people riding donkeys and camels and got wood banked up on them and dressed up in that. It looks like they're putting on a biblical play. And I said, well, that's the way it was. And here this man was in a society such as that, but even worse, in great need. He was a man who was blind. You can imagine being blind and a beggar in a society and in a culture that's already that poor. There's no welfare system. There are no social agencies. There's no one to take care of him. His whole life consists in sitting by the side of the road where someone leads him in the morning, and then they come and get him in the afternoon. And what a terrible thing to be blind. I've often thought, as I'm sure you have, if you lost any of your senses, which one would you hate to lose the worst? Your smell, or your taste, or your touch, or your hearing, or your eye? What would you hate to lose worse? And they're all so good you'd hate to lose any, but I can't imagine being blind. You can do without the rest a whole lot easier than you can without seeing, and seeing the people you love, and seeing the places that you love, and seeing God's great creation. And I just can't imagine the sadness in a man's heart who is blind. Everything is darkness. And then he is living in a derogatory position, because he's not only blind and helpless, he has to beg for a living. To sit by the side of the road and hope what he gets. And those countries today still have a great number of beggars. In fact, I was reading not long ago some Indian beggars. They'll take children and put them beside of the road to make them beg and make them a living. And they'll cut their arms off, or their hand off, or foot off, because they figure they can make more money. People will feel more sorry for them. And what a sad thing to contemplate. The world's a cruel place, and when you are doomed and you're blind and you're begging and you can't work and you can't make a living and you can't get there, I mean, you just sit there. Imagine that. And the sadness of that, you are doomed and lost, and nobody's going to help you. Nobody has time. They're all busy doing what they want to do. And here's this poor fellow, Bartimaeus, completely at the mercy of the world. His life is what he hears. His life is what people tell him. Can't read anything to verify any facts. He can't go anywhere to verify them by sight. He is at total mercy of what he hears as the crowd passes by. And he's physically blind, but want you to contrast with some of you this morning. And we're not condemning you. We're here to help you. But there are a lot of people who are spiritually blind. And I was here yesterday and watched that great crowd and watched some of the things that were going on. And I can't condemn them. Did the same myself. But I felt so sad for some I saw. Had drunk to excess, falling down, obviously drunk, out of their mind. Some on drugs, out of their mind. Somebody not happy with their wife, trying to hit on somebody else's. You know the story. We grown. And I said, they don't even know what the problem is, and they're seeking the answer in all the wrong places. You see, people who do that are crying for help. All that is a cry for help. It's just like Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road saying, "Somebody help me. I cannot help myself." And people who are spiritually blind are as blind in the spirit as Bartimaeus was in the physical. And they don't even know the problem, let alone the solution to it. And they have to accept the answer that's given them by the crowd going by. So all they hear is the gossip and the rumors and the jokes and what the world would have them do and how, you know, all the bad information. That's all that's filled into them. And that's all they have to act on. And they wonder why they hurt. They don't know they're blind. So we want to learn this story this morning and compare it with and contrast it with spiritual blindness. In verse 36, 38, it says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, asked what it meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You have to understand this man's information came, as we said, from what he heard, because he couldn't see. And you can picture him sitting there, and all of a sudden a multitude is going by. And he has to call a friend or a stranger or tug on a robe and say, "Excuse me, I can't see, I'm blind. What's happening this morning? There's an unusual amount of traffic. Unusual amount of people are passing by. I haven't heard of a holiday. It's not a feast day. I don't know what's wrong, but I sense something unusual is happening." You see, blind people, physically blind people, their other senses will try to make up for that blindness. I remember till I passed away, Fred, the blind man at the Greenville, South Carolina post office. And he and my daddy had become great friends. My daddy had box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, for 50 years. And we'd go in, and Fred ran the candy stand with the newspapers and the little things before the government, in their wisdom, decided people would be better off at home, lonely, and with nothing to do. And he ran that stand, and Fred had developed his senses that anybody who walked up who was a regular customer, he knew their name. And sometime we'd check mail late in the afternoon, and we'd walk in. I'd walk in with my dad, and we'd be 20 feet away from him. He'd say, "Hello, Dr. Greenway. Who's that with you?" He'd not only know who it was, but he'd know he'd hear those footsteps of mine. He knew who it was, but just knew somebody was with him. And we would talk. But the blind man will sense something unusual that's happening around him quicker than you will. And so here's Bartimaeus sitting there saying, "Something's going on. I don't know what it is. And I need to find out what's happening. Why the crowd? I hear the conversation. I hear the murmuring. I hear the excitement. Something's taking place. What is it? Someone tell me." And someone said, "Bartimaeus, Jesus is passing by." And he said, "Which Jesus?" For there were many. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he got excited and said, "All right." Somewhere along the line, Bartimaeus had become a theological student. And he understood that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah. He either was Jewish, or had heard it from the Jewish friends, or had heard it in the synagogue as a younger man. And he knew this was the Savior. This was the Messiah that had been promised. This was the anointed one. This was one who would come and save Israel from the heel of Rome. This was the one who had rumored to heal the blind. This is the one who had healed the sick and had raised the dead. And here he was blind. And here was the answer, and he can't see it. So he did what the people here were doing yesterday in their own way. He cried out for help. "Please help me." It has to be a sad man when you think, and unfortunately we laugh when somebody has a little too much to drink and shows their rear end. We kind of laugh it off. But you see, he is every bit of in pain as Bartimaeus. Because a sane man don't get drunk as a goat in front of 300 or 400 people and show his butt. Plain and simple. You just don't do that. But you see it every day. But don't get mad. Those people are crying, please help me. They have a deep need and they don't even know it. But you see, once Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth coming, he stood up and screamed, one of the versions says, screeched, Jesus, thou son of David, help me. The reason I know he had some theology along the way is when he addressed Jesus of Nazareth as the son of David, he was addressing him by the name Jesus took on himself to show that one day his kingdom would come and he would sit on David's throne as he had promised in the Old Testament. And all those prophecies had said he would one day come. The kingdom would set up. That this anointed one would be sent from heaven. And that he would be the miracle man, the God man. And Bartimaeus understood that and said, this is my chance. This is the Savior. And please understand, a Savior, when we say saves you, it doesn't stop with that little save word. That save is all-inclusive, the all-inclusive word of the New Testament of salvation. Contained in it is deliverance, and contained in it is safety and preservation and forgiveness and glorification and salvation of the soul and body and redemption, justification, sanctification, and propitiation, all of those great terms of the Bible that have volumes written on each one are contained in that little word. Saves. Bartimaeus knew this was the one who could get him out of darkness and bring him to light. This is the one who could make sure he no longer had to be pitiful and poor and sit by the side of the road and dependent on the crowd and dependent on strangers and dependent on help from others. Here he could be his own man. This was the answer. And he said, I'm not going to sit still. Somewhere along the line he had read the prophet Amos way back, or someone had read it to him or told him, where the Lord said in Amos 5:4, said, seek me and ye shall live. If in spiritual blindness, seek me and ye shall have light. If you're in physical pain, seek me and I can relieve that. And here he said, this is my chance. I'm jumping up. I'm screaming. One of the other accounts in Matthew or Mark says he took his robe and threw it off. Only thing he owned. Said, I've got to get to him. I've got to get through this crowd. Out of the way. And of course, the political correct crowd said, wait a minute. What is this beggar doing? We finally get a visitor to Jericho. Jericho, by the way, means cursed. It was a cursed place. The name means cursed. We finally get a visitor of some repute. We finally get somebody and his group with him. And we got the mayor here. And we got the city council. And we got all the businessmen. And we're trying to look. And here comes this ragged, no good, blind beggar interrupting the parade. Somebody stop him. Bartimaeus, according to Scripture, cried louder. One version said he shrieked, begged for mercy. Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David, help me, it's my last chance, I'm dying. I hear him now. Please help me, the darkness is too much. Please help me, the pain is too much to bear. Somewhere along the line, he had heard the Psalms where David said, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. And Bartimaeus is saying, he's present, I'm present, the problem's present, the answer's present, and I'm getting to him. I don't care what the mayor thinks.
I don't care what the government thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. He is my answer. I'm in trouble, and I'm getting to him. If you're spiritually blind this morning, you be a Bartimaeus. I don't care if everybody else jumps up and runs out. If you're spiritually blind, you say, that's the answer. I'm 50, 60, I'm 65. I've gone all my life and heard this and never knew. And I've hurt and hurt and hurt. And the answer's here. You can all leave. But I'm going to talk to that man and find out if I can know this Jesus. He'll bring light where the darkness dwells. We take away all the pain of body and soul. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. The result of that, you would think maybe the guests would be startled and said, well, this was nice, and they were having a parade, and I'm the honored guest, and why is this ragamuffin jumping up and ruining the day? No. The activity caused Jesus to stand still. He stopped the parade. Stopped. Said, nobody go any further. Festivities can stop right here. There's somebody in need. You see, here is the creator of the world. Here is the savior of the universe. Here is the most important life that ever took physical form. The most important man who ever lived, it is God in the flesh, and took time to stop for a blind beggar because he needed help. And the spiritually blind that are here, as I once was, that same Jesus, that same God, that same Savior will stop the work of the universe. If you say, I'm hurting and I need help and I'm lost and I'm undone and I don't know what to do, Jesus, help me, thou son of David. Then he'll stop whatever's going on and listen to you. So, well, I don't know that that's true. I haven't ever read that in Scripture. We can even go lower than that. I can show you where he says, if a sparrow falls to the ground, he takes note of it. Surely you're worth more to him than a sparrow that cost 2 pennies at that day. So Jesus stood still, but Bartimaeus understood. Not only was the helper the Savior, not only was the God he had heard of present, not only was his this chance, but he knew not to just sit there. If this parade passes him by and he says nothing, he will remain as he is until he dies. If a spiritual blind man hears the gospel passing by, the Bible tells me where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, he's there. I can't see him. He's here. He'll pass among you this morning. You may know it, may not, may feel it, may know. I promise he will pass among you. And you let that parade go by. It may be like Bartimaeus and your last chance. You let it go by and do nothing, you'd end up like Bartimaeus did physically. You'd end up like him spiritually, meaning you would be in darkness forever because you just didn't cry out. You see, Jesus said, I'm there. Call on to me. You have to call me. You have to want my help. And Bartimaeus understood that. He said, I must call, and I'm calling. And you must recognize who he is. And we've already covered that. He recognized who he is. You cast it all aside and say, my way hadn't worked too good, and I've made a lot of money, and I'm a pretty good golfer, and I'm doing all right as far as the world's concerned. But for 50 years, I've lived in spiritual darkness, and I wouldn't know Jesus from Jell-O. And I need to change that. And the parade's passing by this morning. And the same Jesus is walking by this morning saying, I'll give you help. All you got to do is ask for it. Somewhere along the line, Bartimaeus had been told, or someone had read to him, the prophet Jeremiah. And he had heard long ago, I'm going to assume, I'm going to ask him one day. I won't have to worry about it any longer. He read where it said, behold, I'm the Lord. I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And I can almost see him as someone tells him, Bartimaeus, you're a blind little boy, and we can't help you, and looks like you're going to be blind all your life, but one day the Savior's coming, and you trust in him, and you're going to live with him forever, and one day you'll see. And maybe little Bartimaeus can ask, well, can anybody do anything now? And Jeremiah had already written, yes, son, he can. He's the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for him, he asked. If he wants you, for some way, somehow, he's going to make you see. He's going to let it happen. And it finally did. Does it mean everything wrong with you is going to get cured? I don't know. There's no promise in the Bible like that. Finally, it will. We'll pray for Kay, and I hope her cancer goes away and that she doesn't pass away, of course. We know life and love life, and that's all we know. But God's sovereign. And if you know him, you accept his sovereignty and his grace, and you just say, whatever happens. You're the Lord God Jehovah. The Lord God Almighty, you've never made a mistake since eternity past and won't for eternity future. And your grace is sufficient for me. But I promise that's hard to handle if you don't know the Lord. So the question was asked when Bartimaeus finally made it up to Jesus where he was. Jesus commanded him, said, bring him to me. They brought him up in verse 41. He says, ask a question. It sounds like a dumb question. I mean, here's a man in rags. Here's a man who can't see, who is screaming for help. And you're going to ask him, what wilt thou I shall do unto you? Seemed pretty obvious what you should do unto him, doesn't it? But you see, the Lord's a little bit smarter than we are. He wanted to make sure Bartimaeus really knew what was wrong with him and was seeking the right answer. As some of us here today are spiritually blind, and we say, well, if I could just get that larger house, everything would be all right. We've all been there. Well, now, if the country club will just accept me, I know I'm a little shady, but boy, if they'd just let me in down there, things would be all right. And you did, and they didn't, and it was pitiful again. Well, the new car. I'll get that new Cadillac STS. Now, I got that. Something's going to happen. And you got it. And nothing happened. You see, sometimes we are in pain that we cause ourselves, and we ask for the things that we do not need. And Jesus was just saying, Bartimaeus, if you could have one thing, my man, in the whole universe, what would it be? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, give me my sight. I'll get a job and get a house. I'll get a new camel or a donkey. I'll get a job. I'll work all that other out. Just please let me see. I'm in darkness. Give me light. And Jesus said, that's the answer. Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you, son. And when he says has saved you, he's referring there to body and soul. Because you believed I was the Redeemer, because you believed I was the Son of David, because you believed I was the Christ, because I was the Messiah, you believed I could do this, put your faith in me, and trusted me. Not only has your faith caused you to be able to see? But you've just gained eternal life, son. And you'll walk in light forever, for you'll never be blind again. And when they bury your body, you'll still see, because you'll be with me. What a good day for a blind man. What a good day for Bartimaeus. And he did the right thing. You see, he explained his real need. And some of us won't do that, will we? We'll go on doing whatever it is and whatever your major problem is, and you'll go on with it rather than go to somebody and say, look, I'm hurting. I need help. I can't handle, and you name off whatever it is, and you won't go in and get help. If you break your leg, go to a doctor. If you got a dope problem, go to the medical place. Get it taken care of. Go to rehab. You got a drinking problem, go to rehab. Right after you go to Jesus. But to go to rehab without going to Jesus will just prolong the agony of doing without your problem, and you'll double it as soon as you get out. We don't have a 12-step program. Jesus has a 1-step program. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you're blind, I'll let you see. If you're crippled, I'll let you walk. If you're lost and headed to hell, I'll take you as one of my own forever and see that you live with me. What a Savior. And he has the answer. Then Bartimaeus decided, now that he could see, now that he had been healed, now that everything was going to be all right, he didn't just run off. Bible said he glorified God. I can see him now praising the Lord and jumping up and down and getting excited. And some folks, you know, have sat on their hands so long in church, they wouldn't clap if you gave them to church. Well, I'm just not the clapping kind. If I give you $1 million, you'll scream. And he offers more than that every Sunday. The old story by one of the good black sisters that sings. She's up in Durham, by the way, Shirley. And she has a record I heard years and years ago called Hold My Mule. If you've never heard it, you need to hear it. And the story is about an old black fella out in the country. Uncle John been going to this little church for 40, 50 years. One of the founders been there every Sunday, but he loved to jump up and run. You haven't been to one of those services, you need to go one. Get some of that stiffness out of your neck. And they'd start singing like Randy does and sing Amazing Grace or start singing the story of the Lord, and he couldn't stand it. He'd be up at that seat and running up and down the aisles and circle the whole thing a time or two. And if it was a especially good Sunday, he'd run out the door, take 3 laps around the church, and come back in the door. He'd do it every Sunday. I mean, sure as there was going to be preaching, Uncle John was going to be running because he got excited. The church began to flourish and new people moved in and new houses being built, and some affluence that came, and they got the carpet and they got the chandelier, though nobody could play it. You got the new hymn books, and everything was looking good. Cutting the grass, everything was getting uptown, and new people were coming in, dressing nice, smelling good, doing it right, see. Don't show God how important they were when they came to worship. Uncle John kept jumping, and finally the deacons got together and went out to his little farmhouse. He said, oh, good to see the deacons. On a Tuesday, the deacons. I'm just this is wonderful. What are you here for? And they said, John, we need to talk to you. He said, oh, yeah, let's talk. Talk about the Lord. He said, well, we are, but we're going to discuss something with you, and it's kind of hard for us. I said, what? I said, you've been down at the church for 40 years.
And we know how you love to jump and run and how excited you get and clap your hands. Hold your hands up in the air, praising the Lord, and it interrupts the service sometime. And he said, I know I didn't mean to cause confusion. And they said, well, we're going to ask you not to do that anymore. He said, excuse me? He said, we're going to ask you not to do that anymore. We're getting a little more formal and things are settling down. And just, you know, don't do that. He said, don't praise the Lord. They said, well, you know, the jumping and the yelling and you get so excited. He said, listen, son, you see a little house over there? Yeah. He said, no. It's got 2 bedrooms. I had 5 children. Lord, give me that house. Said, you see the corn you're standing in? He said, yeah. Said, I had 1 acre. Mr. Brown died, left it to me. You see them 2 acres of tobacco back out? Said, yeah, he left them to me. I worked for him 40 years. He passed on. He left them to me. Said, you see them pigs? Said, yes, yeah. There's 30 of them. I started with 2. Lord, give me 30. Said, off them pigs and my chickens and that corn and that 2 acres of tobacco, I've put 5 children through college. Times got hard and we'd get down to just 2 hogs again, but the Lord would get them together and here comes some more. Tobacco would be down, not bringing good money, but somehow some would sell some more and somebody would come by and want it and even buy my scrubs. The Lord took good care of me. He said, over in Raleigh, I got a son who is a medical doctor. Over in Durham, I have a daughter who is teaching school. I have 1 boy in the service of the country who is an officer. I got one, we're trying to get out of college now. This is his last year. He's getting a master's degree, whatever that is. And I have one that preaches the gospel. And me and his mother, through the grace of God, put 5 kids through college. That house is paid for. This mule is mine. Those 2 acres of tobacco belong to me. They in my name. I own those pigs. The corn I feed them, I grow through the grace of God. And you don't want me to praise him. Said, hold my mule. If I can't praise him down there, I'll praise him here. And off he took. Circling the hogs, the corn. There you go. Came back. I said, I don't guess I'll be seeing y'all down at the church anymore Sunday. Thank you for coming by. Difference in light and darkness. Difference in life and death. Difference in saved and lost. Difference in sadness and joy. And the difference is a man called Jesus. If you don't know him, you'll live in spiritual darkness till you die. And then I have worse news for you. You will spend eternity in outer darkness. Nobody to talk to. Nothing to fill your time. But your memory stays. And you'll remember the day I went to SOS. And I heard a preacher. I just stumbled in there for fun. Somebody asked me to go. I hadn't been to church in a while. And I heard him say, you better not let this parade pass you by. And I did. And I remember and I hear that over and over. I hear the Billy Graham messages I've seen on TV. I'm a closet Billy Graham watcher. I watch some of the stadiums full and hear the story and I did nothing and I keep hearing him say, just come unto Jesus, just turn your life over to him, and I didn't do it,
And now I'm blind spiritually and living in darkness for eternity. It's very, very real. That's why God put me here. So you won't have to live that way. If you know him not today, as we pray, we don't have people come up and sign cards and do all that. That's wonderful for those who do it that way. God bless them. But God knows where you are now, just like he knew where Bartimaeus sat. You in spiritual darkness today, you came without a Savior. You don't know what would happen to you if you died before midnight. Why don't you change all that? Do what Bartimaeus did. You call upon the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, the Son of David, the Messiah, the Lord God. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. There's too many for me to name them all. It's just I'm a sinner. And I'd like to be forgiven. I repent. I'm going to turn and go in another direction. And I don't understand it all. But I'm blind. And I want light. Please save me. I promise the Holy Spirit of God will regenerate your soul. You'll become a new creature in Christ. Safe. Secure. Saved. Forever. We always play a song. You sit quietly as we do that after we pray. Gives you time to meditate a little bit. Think about your life. And if you need to make that commitment or anything else you need to do, you do it quietly where you sit. When you're through, just move your chairs to the back, to the side wall. We'll put them up. This can be the greatest day of deliverance you ever had. SOS, a plea for help. And the answer has been given you. I hope you'll receive it. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We can learn the story of blind Bartimaeus, and we can hear that there is one where we can go for light and life, and he's you. The scripture says that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That we just have to put our pride down and say, look, I'm a sinner. Need to be saved by grace. Please, Lord Jesus, save me. If there be one here, Lord Jesus, who's in that condition, please stop by them and pull on their heart one more time. But this time, let them respond to you. And let no man or woman walk away from this place in the condition in which they came if they were lost. And thank you for those of us you have saved. And I'm glad you said I'll hold your mule, because I'm going to praise you. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen.